thank you so much, and we'll do a little more talking in a minute. But now I'm going to introduce Lindsay Woody. I'm very excited about hearing your experience.
Hi. Hello, my name is Woody, and I'm codependent.
Hi, Woody.
This is my first time speaking, so I don't want to be alone or nervous. So I'm going to do a little bit of both. I'm going to read because it's my security blanket, and then I'll probably talk a lot because that's what I do, is I talk a lot. I've been a part of the Coda Fellowship and on the Road to Recovery for the last year and a half. This is the first time that I've shared my story. Many of us are born in dysfunctional families that feels normal and comfortable. My story is not much different. I was a late in life baby. I came along 13 years after the first seven. We had a huge family, and growing up, I had a whole bunch of bosses. Although my parents were way older and wiser by the time I came along, the template for addiction, abuse, and shame were etched deep into our family blueprint. My mom fought obesity her whole life and was wheelchair bound with a multitude of health issues. She had been dying since the day I was born, and somehow I kind of felt that was my fault. My dad was a hard worker. He parented a lot with a quick temper, and he used religion as our guidepost for rules, restrictions, and a lot of guilt. He came from a generational alcoholic family that went untreated, and although he didn't drink as I was growing up, he still had all of the characteristics of one. So I tried really hard to save them, and I never felt that I was good enough. I was raised to be a caregiver and a people pleaser. To do what I was told with a smile and to just get it done without asking any questions. The pressure to be perfect, to be better than everyone else, to always be right. And the fear of what others thought of me was very overwhelming, even at a young age. Each day, I would wake up and pack my backpack of expectations between school, grades, church, music, sports. I strove to be perfect. I tried to be the grateful, modest, good Christian girl that everyone I thought and others expected of me. I wanted my parents and I wanted God to be proud of me. There wasn't any room to disappoint anyone anytime. It was very exhausting, and I felt empty. I began secretly filling that emptiness with boys, sex, and experimenting with drugs and alcohol at a very young age. I juggled it pretty well. We put on a pretty face and acted pretty normal until my junior year in high school, when all the secrets that I had been keeping in the dark came out with a very pregnant belly. Shame filled me. I couldn't hide my sins anymore. I was walking around with a scarlet letter on my stomach. The whispers and hushes blew through my circle, and anger filled me. Why was God punishing me? I had planned to be different from the rest of my family. How was I going to go to college and be successful? My hopes and dreams of that picture-perfect future would once be over once my family and my parents knew. So I kept it a secret for a really long time. For most moms, expecting is a really exciting time in life, and all I could feel at that time was shame. I graduated with honors that next year from high school and discovered I was pregnant again as I walked across the stage to pick up my diploma. Again, I asked God, what did I deserve to have this happen to me? As a single mom, teenage mom of two now, I packed everything that I owned and I moved to Dallas with the girls' dad as far away as I could so that I could escape from the shame back home. My mom passed away soon after I left for Texas. It was hard, and I felt extremely guilty. I found myself wrapped in and out of the same storylines, and my shame followed me. Since I could remember, I was either with a guy or breaking up with a guy. I haven't had so much as 2 weeks just to deal with myself. I struggled with self-confidence and felt very inadequate by not having a degree in college. I threw myself into work. I was building a career and then into my beautiful daughter's lives. I began to push them into sports, pressure them about their grades and their future. I began to pack their backpacks with expectations of what I expected for them to do so that they wouldn't be like me. So as the story goes, I married the first man who showed me some type of love, and we tried to create that version of the American dream. We built a new house, we had 2.5 kids, and an amazing lawn. As the market crashed, I lost it all. I lost my job, my home, my identity, and my husband. I felt like a complete failure again. Now, before my divorce was even drawn up, I had already began a new relationship, a secret one with a narcissist, one that drained me of my self-worth, of my finances, and my energy. I don't even know why I was doing the things I was doing or how I couldn't see it for what it was. I was getting nothing in return. There was this unexplainable attachment to him. I would rationalize it in my head that he was a good person, that he couldn't do it without me, that he needed me as much as I needed him. I felt I was responsible to take care of all the broken people in my life. Without me, they were all going to fall apart. All the boxes I had desperately tried to check were being erased before my eyes. I had lost myself, close friends, and I could see myself slipping into a deep depression. My daughters were adulting and about to leave for college. My father's journey with dementia would come to an end, and I would lose my last parent. I was an orphan. I felt abandoned, alone, crazy, and that my life was over. I had nothing to show for it, and no one would ever love me again. I cried off and on for weeks, and I had no idea why. I absolutely was alone for the first time in my life, and I didn't know how to process all the emotions. If I wasn't taking care of others or making someone else happy, then what was my purpose? I felt very broken. God had put so many amazing people in my life path along the way. I couldn't understand why I couldn't just snap out of it. My best friend had success in therapy over the years and had recommended that maybe I try to speak to someone outside of the church arena. I mean, the antidepressants weren't working. I was isolating more and more, avoiding everyone and everything. All the things that used to keep me busy, my girls, my dad, soccer, it was all gone. So trying to see a therapist didn't have anything to lose. So I Googled and I researched and I prepared for my first therapy session. I charted out my family tree, all the major events that happened to me and my family, my career moves, the deaths, the romantic relationships, along with the key of dates, traits, and every cross-reference possible. With the notebook in hand, I arrived, and I had requested the shortest path of recovery without all that childhood bullshit. We all have levels of dysfunction, and I left mine behind in Oklahoma 20 years ago. I wanted the quick fix, to be healed with the least amount of time, cost, and pain. Needless to say, I've learned a lot. While trying to escape from the narcissistic relationship, I began a new one that I thought was healthy. He was the total opposite. He was loving and caring. I was his whole entire world. We were both very codependent. We moved fast. We moved in with each other quickly. We were totally infatuated with love in the beginning. And then one day, I just couldn't breathe. I couldn't stand that he did my laundry. And he wanted to talk about our feelings over and over again. He wanted to do everything together all the time. And I would go to therapy and I would say, I'm done. We're breaking up. He's draining me. I'm losing myself. This isn't working. I'm going to break up. And then we'd get back together. And that would go back and forth for months until I was finally done. And after a couple months of being single, showed up to my therapy appointment in tears and announced that he had proposed to me, and I said yes, and I was going to get married. And I didn't understand why my kids weren't talking to me, why they weren't happy for me. Why am I crying? And this should be the most exciting time of my life. I believe it was probably the shortest engagement ever. It lasted a few more days. But I didn't understand, like, what was wrong with me? Why did I keep repeating these same patterns over and over again? And what was it gonna take for me to totally detach? As we began to dig into each session, my therapist had recommended for me to check out CODA. I had no idea what codependence was. My first meeting was the hardest. I think I talked myself out of walking in about 10 times from the parking lot. Then this little red pickup pulled up with the baseball cap with a friendly smile. And I forced myself to follow, most of you know, Clint, down that basement staircase into that damp, dark hallway. I had no idea what to expect, but was welcomed with such compassion. The first few meetings, I was in total denial, and I surely thought I didn't belong here. I had committed to 4 meetings where my head bounced around all over the place. Then it began to click through my journaling and meditations. I'd been wrestling through many of these steps in my homework assignments with my therapist, and it began to shed more light on the patterns and behaviors of codependency. Yeah, I was very codependent. Then that aha moment came. As I finished a stack of Brené Brown books, I was amazed. How did I live for so many years and not fully understand this? I judged myself so harshly, and I held in so much shame because I felt I wasn't someone else's perception of perfect. There was no way that anyone would love me wholeheartedly until I could love myself. My authentic self. So then the journey began for self-care, acceptance, letting go, and the power of boundaries. I finally began to recognize and feel my feelings, and that was a very foreign concept. I had choices. I could choose to continue to allow toxic people to control my self-worth, or I could choose to insert a boundary or just simply say no when it didn't fulfill a need or a want for me. I no longer needed to be needed and to take care of everybody else. I had found a new freedom that they had been talking about. Then I began to see my relationships change, enforcing no contact with my narcissistic relationship by not responding to texts, calls, blocking communication. It cut out a little bit of crazy in my life. I realigned my self-responsibilities with finances, time management, and created a work-life balance with work. I discovered new things and found hobbies that brought me happiness. And I recognized that I needed time alone to recharge. Oh, and there are setbacks, a lot of them. I found a true healing in forgiveness, not only for others, but for myself. That I had the power to acknowledge my shortcomings and recover quicker each time. So that numbing was much fewer and that I could finally try to break that pattern. My relationships with my daughters changed and we became so much closer. I'm able to openly share my experiences with them and my feelings. It has helped me to accept where they are in life and not where I think they should be. We wrestled through pink hair and tattoos, piercings, placing college on hold, or just trying to figure their shit out The details don't matter or where I thought they should be in life. They had their own choices, their own unique journey, and their own measurement of happiness. My responsibility is to love them with an open heart and to lead by example and not dictation or judgment like my parents. I'm really proud of them, and I'm finally starting to break the patterns. I built a new village, one of healthy and loving relationships, where I can give as much as I receive and just be myself, perfectly imperfect. I have mentors and cheerleaders and friends that I've chosen to be in my circle on my one by one piece of paper, whose opinions are the only ones that matter. See, along the way, I thought it was just me. I thought I was crazy, I was less than and unworthy. It took a lot of courage to learn to be vulnerable and love myself, and that I have choices with the power to make my own change. I found a new compassion and acceptance for myself, and I thank my CODA family for creating that safe space and supporting me and my story so far. Thanks for listening.